Are you having difficulty reading the newspaper? Are you experiencing severe vision loss? Or do you know someone who is? If you answer yes to any of these questions, then the American Council of the Blind can help you. We are blind and visually impaired people from every walk of life who work together to enhance our lives. For more information or membership application, call 800-424-8666 or contact us online at www.acb.org. The American Council of the Blind, forging new frontiers for our future.
Greetings and welcome to the Candidates Forum. I'm going to find this fascinating. I know nothing about this procedure whatsoever. I have an expert beside me who does, however. In fact, I rather think I do. This is ACB Radio Mainstream, and during this, you can write to us at convention@acbradio.org, email or MSN. So keep the messages coming. Let us know what you think of what's going on. Let us know what you think of how the stream's going. Marlene, the Candidates Forum.
Yes.
What's it all about? I've heard of this Candidates Forum on various years. Because it's been far too late, I've never actually listened to any of it. So what actually happens?
Well, if I can stop clearing my throat and coughing, I'll try to give you an answer. all throughout the week, participants have been invited to submit questions into a box located somewhere here in the area for the candidates. And those questions will be, certain questions from those questions will be drawn. There's no review of the questions. It's, rather the luck of the draw. Will be drawn and asked of each candidate. The same question will be asked of each candidate.
And the candidates have no prior knowledge of the questions.
That's right.
Right.
They have no prior knowledge. In addition to that, there will be questions from the audience, as well as you've just said, if folks have questions out there as they're listening and they would like them asked, you can MSN or email them to us, and we will make every effort to get your question onto the floor. And again, not all questions can make it to the floor, but they certainly do attempt to give everyone an opportunity to ask at least one question. The way it's going to run this year, the first group of candidates from which we will hear will be those running for the Board of Publications. The Board of Publications, of course, is the body which governs ACB Radio.
I was going to say, we have special interest in this,
yes,
do we not?
Do. We do.
Rather.
The Braille Forum. Mm-hmm. Basically is sort of oversees the publicity of ACB itself. Then we'll have a short break, and after the break, we'll come back, and all of those candidates running for the ACB Board of Directors will be at the front of the room, and they will have the questions asked of them, which are relevant to those positions. So it's a good opportunity to get to know the candidates before you vote. And Chris Gray, President Chris Gray, did say today that we would begin the business of voting exactly at 9:15 tomorrow morning. Now, the candidates who will appear here tonight are candidates who come from the nominating committee and have identified themselves as running for these various positions. It could very well be that tomorrow other candidates are nominated from the floor. So that's when the electoral process becomes very interesting here in ACB, because not only do we have an established group of folks who, as we say, made it out of the nominating committee.
Mm-hmm.
But you can be sure that tomorrow there will be more names that will be placed before the body for consideration and voting. So elections are one of my favorite things to do in our conventions, because they are so open, and because the process, if you don't make it out of nominating committee, the process still allows you to be placed before the body. If you have a nominator and a seconder, you're there. So it's interesting and usually pretty darn suspenseful.
So how have they got to the nominating committee stage?
Well, usually what happens is you express an interest and a desire to run. You attempt to find out who some of the folks going to the nominating committee might be. And the best thing, of course, is if someone going to the nominating committee nominates you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, they have a nominator and a seconder on the nominating committee, and those are your campaigners, and they're the people who say, you should, you know, elect Chrissy Cochran. She's done this, that, and the next thing, and then the seconder agrees with that and really, really sells you to the
It works.
Whoa, it works. Yeah.
So I presume then that they are sort of, the people that wish to be nominated are campaigning during the course of this week.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And beforehand as well, the Board of Publications sets up a candidates page on the ACB website, and there are questions that are posted on the website. It's like a form. Now, you don't have to fill it in.
Yep.
You know, you can certainly run without doing that, but it helps if you do. And each candidate is asked their views on several points. This is posted on the acb.org website for all to go and look at and see, and that's the beginning of your campaign. The campaign process itself is a fascinating one, because, you know, in the old days, I can remember, you know, you'd come to convention and you'd say, well, I'm interested in running for the board. And you'd sort of nab everybody as you could, and you'd come to the floor, you'd have the election, you'd win or you'd lose. Now, there's just, you really have to have a desire to campaign. There are caucuses. You've probably heard announcements each day, the Pennsylvania caucus, the Washington caucus. Well, what that's about is the various state affiliates will either meet singly or sometimes regionally. If you've got a bunch of smaller affiliates in the same region, if you will, they may get together for a caucus. And so then what happens is all the candidates run from caucus to caucus and give, well, in our case this morning, for example, we allowed candidates to give a 3-minute presentation.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a timekeeper, and then we allowed 2 questions per candidate. And those guys had to be at our caucus at 7 o'clock this morning. So, you know, you might have 3 caucuses going on at 7 in the morning.
So you've got to be pretty committed to do it,
yes,
haven't you? You really have.
I mean, I've seen years where people have just been running, and they get to Washington, and they're... because there are so many, and the caucuses aren't always necessarily all lined up in a row like good little ducks.
Right, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
they could be on floor 4, 3, 9, you know,
wherever.
So you're dashing all over to these caucuses. Now, one of the candidates for the board this year, her motto is Dylan for Diligence, and she, I don't know how she did this, but she found some cardboard fans.
Right.
And in Braille, and I think in print, I don't know, Gary, was it in print on those? Okay. A big red heart and with big white letters and Braille on the fan, it said, Join the ACB fan club.
Oh.
And then it said Dylan for Diligence under that, and then her whole campaign thing. But, you know, I've seen those fans everywhere.
That is clever.
And you could actually fan yourself with it. Yes,
yeah,
stick on it.
Yeah, that really is clever.
Now, and then other years I've come down on a Friday morning and felt paper on my chair. You know, and I'm just going to turn my cell phone off. Thank you very much.
It sounds like an ordinary phone
to me.
Go to
voicemail. Good phone.
That's a good phone.
Good phone. Yeah. I've come down on other years on a Friday morning and found all kinds of print and braille pages on my chair. And, you know, so people really do take this very seriously. People really are very committed once they've made the decision that they want to run. And then there's the whole strategy of, well, I want to vote for you, Harry, but not if you come out, as we say. In other words, if you're being nominated from the floor, not if you come out against Susie.
Right.
Because I can't vote against Susie. Mm-hmm. And then you might say to Susie, look, I really want to vote for you, but if you come out against, you know, Mike, I can't vote for you. So it's just it's incredibly complex and very intense and sometimes you kind of look at the whole machine and you think, whoa, what, you know, how do I vote here? For example, for me personally, there were a couple of candidates that came out of the nominating committee,
mm-hmm,
that I remember thinking, oh my gosh, if they come from the floor and they go against each other, I don't know what to do. I couldn't vote one over the other. So it's
are we taking that bit?
I think we're just making an announcement.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. So it's kind of a fascinating process and one.
Well, it's true politicking, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It really is.
Absolutely.
You know, it's the type of thing you would do at, you know, sort of local elections, in a sense, in the UK.
Absolutely.
And this whole campaigning thing and finding, you know, literature, as you say, halls of braille sheets, and the fan idea is absolutely amazing.
I
think that is clever.
Yeah. I mean, join the ACB fan.
I'm
club.
Not so sure it would make me vote for someone, but it would certainly get my attention.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's the general idea of it. But so, does it ever get so bogged down that it can't get anywhere, if you see what I mean? Because it is hellishly complicated.
I've never seen it get so bogged down that it can't get anywhere. Now, I tell you that I'm not a constitutional expert enough to know what you do when you have X number of candidates and it's a very close election and what the percentages are where you start dropping off and doing a runoff election.
Right.
But there we do have that language in our Constitution. And, you know, someone like Paul Edwards, for example, would probably know that.
Yeah.
But I don't. So it can't really get so bogged down that it goes nowhere, because if you have 3, 4, 5, whatever people, the top 2 or 3 are going to end up in a runoff.
Oh,
one way,
right.
Or the
okay.
Other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely fascinating.
Yeah. Gary says we've seen one runoff. We've seen at least one, actually. That's. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's not uncommon.
Yeah, I'm sure there's the stuff in the Constitution, and if worse comes to worse, you'd follow Robert's rules of order on that.
Right. Yeah. So now we're just setting up the audio, and we're in the ballroom, by the way, the grand ballroom.
It is huge, and
where we have our daily stuff, and they're trying to section it off.
Yeah, basically, you know, everyone's up one end.
We're sure we're not going to have 1,200 people.
And we're
here,
isolated so. Down here.
It's
But I'm looking forward to hearing this, actually, and seeing just how the process pans out. And I hope you are too. Don't forget, if you've got a question you'd like to try and see if we can get through to the people, then request. Again, you yeah, I knew it. I'd do it.
I did it the other day on the floor.
I knew I would do it. Convention@acbradio.org. Maria has a baby little machine set up here that will
read email.
Get email and MSN. So convention, I got it right this time, at acbradio.org if you've got a question or a comment on the whole political procedure. I think it's absolutely fascinating. And, you know, there are countries where this may be being heard who don't have anything like this. So I hope you're finding it interesting. Okay.
Going to go to music.
We're going to go to a little music for a moment until we are ready to go. This is ACB Radio Mainstream. Should be playing.
we are just now getting ready to begin the Candidates Forum for 2006. The next voice you hear will be that of Mike Duke.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the American Council of the Blind Candidates Forum. Tonight, we're also being broadcast worldwide over ACB Radio's mainstream, and we welcome our worldwide audience. Thank you for spending some time with us this evening. Coming to you live from Jacksonville, Florida, in the same area where the general sessions are being held, we have quite a number of people gathered in part of this room, and we're now preparing to begin our program this evening. And I would like to, in order to accomplish that, I'd like to now pass the microphone over to our moderator for the evening, someone who has been doing candidates forums for a number of years now and has been working diligently this week in other areas that have to do with wires and microphones, Mr. Jay Doudna.
Thank you very much, Mike, and good evening, everybody, and welcome to the 2006 version of this year's Candidates Forum. We have a lot to do tonight, and this is the opportunity for you as ACB members to give us a chance to get to know the candidates even better. We're going to do two things tonight. Remember, we have two separate parts of this election. We have the election for the Board of Publications, and we also have some board seats that are up for election. We're going to do the Board of Publications first this evening, and then we're going to follow that with the board seats. Now, I just have a couple of rules to give all of you who are here in the studio audience tonight. I shouldn't... Thank you, Mike. Mike just handed me that microphone. You can have a seat right there, Mike, that first seat. I'm going to ask all of you, if you will, please, to turn your cell phones off. That'd be the first thing. And I shouldn't have to say this, but when I walk through the general session in the morning, I hear all kinds of conversations going on. And it really is very discourteous to the people who are giving speeches. So tonight I'd like to be courteous to our candidates who are giving of their time to run for elective office. So will you please, if you have a conversation you want to make, please go outside and talk to your friends. If you're here tonight, you're here to hear the candidates, and I hope that's the case. And to all of you that are listening tonight, I understand Marlena is taking calls or taking email messages, and I have to walk quite a distance. This is, if you haven't, don't know this, this place is probably, we could probably play two football games in this big hall. I'm going to walk all the way down here to where Marlena is before we start. And Marlena, you are taking, you want to give that address?
Yes, the address is convention at acbradio.org, and that's for email or MSN.
Okay, there you go, and that's the email address. If you want to send a question to the candidate, we'll try to get you in there. My intention is to start and go for about 45 minutes. So since we've started about 10 after here, we'll probably be going till about 8 o'clock for the first portion of tonight's program. If we end before that with respect to the BOP, that'll be just as well. I'd like to introduce our timer this evening. I've asked our timer, Mr. Paul Edwards, immediate past president of ACB. I've asked him to be our timer this evening. And thank you, Paul, very much. Okay, he'll try not to be too intrusive. Yeah, Mike is reminding me that if there are any candidates, thank you, Mike. Mike is reminding me if there are any candidates in the audience for for the BOP positions who we don't know about, you're welcome to come up here right now and be a part of this. We have other seats, so you can come up and join us. Well, I don't see the herd coming down the aisle, so I'm assuming that you three are it. All right, now I need to get out my... I think I know this in my head. I want to tell you, the reason I don't have my list out is because we were hooking up the assisted listening device, and it was being temperamental. But we got it working. So now I have my names. Well, first of all, this evening, candidate is Cindy Van Winkle. She's joining us. You might remember her as Cindy Bergette, but just within the last year, she became Van Winkle. And Cindy, just wondering how many comments you've had about RIP since all that.
Too many. Yes, it's been 3 weeks and too many.
Well, congratulations, Cindy, really. That's wonderful. 3 weeks and it's already too many Van Winkles, or too many RIPs. Too many RIPs, right. And we all know Deanna Quietwater Noriega. She is another one of our candidates tonight. And the third candidate for the BOP position is Ken Stewart. And Ken, we welcome you here tonight, too. So we're going to open with one-minute statements from our candidates, and then I'll take questions. I have a question or two for them, and then we'll see if anybody in the audience has a question for our BOP candidates. So we'll start this evening with our newlywed. We'll ask Cindy to open here, Cindy Van Winkle, with a one-minute opening statement. Here you are, Cindy.
2 years ago, I was elected to the Board of Publications and have enjoyed very much serving the American Council of the Blind in this capacity. I believe that over the 2 years, our board has operated as a positive working team, even when we've had changes in members on the board over the last 2 years, three different people. I hope that the membership will allow me to continue our work by re-electing me onto the board, and I pledge that I will do the best that I can to continue in a positive way the work of the American Council of the Blind through the Board of Publications. Thank you.
Now let's go to Ken Stewart. Mr. Stewart?
Thank you very much, Jay. I'm Ken Stewart. Just elected first vice president of CCLVI, also the president of the Metropolitan New York chapter, which I founded. I had one previous term on the Board of Publications, 2002-2004. I'd be glad to speak about that later if anybody asks. The contributions I made then, I think in the future I can make contributions based on my expertise and experience as a professional writer and editor. I'm also third-party neutral by career, and that means I need to be very good at listening to people. I think that's very important for any of your elected representatives to listen to you so we can try to carry out your wishes in terms of the organization and our communication formats. And I also spend lots of time on advocacy work, which I think can contribute to my functioning and contributions as an elected member of the Board of Publications. Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. And finally, Diana Quietwater Noriega. Here, Diane.
Okay. That's Deanna Quietwater Noriega, but that's okay. What can I tell you? I have lived all over this United States as an Army brat, so I'm almost a daughter of most states. I first got involved in ACB in 1980 when I was a young mother. I had a year-old daughter, a three-year-old daughter, and a 13-year-old son. And my church sent me to Portland, Oregon on the Greyhound bus. They gave me some money and said, well, would you go up there and find out what this ACB stuff is all about? We hear there's a convention. And my church had a lot of elderly people in it that were losing vision, so they wanted to know what ACB had to offer them. Immediately, the president of that organization cornered me, found out what my interests were. When she discovered I loved to write, she sent me to cover a disabled women's conference. And I've been working for the organization ever since. I've served on the affiliate level in two states as the president, and I've served you 2 years, and I'd like to serve you two more. You weren't supposed to go for coffee, Jay.
Thank you. I need to explain one thing to our listening audience who's listening on ACB Radio. We chose to have the candidates forum down in this end because we thought it would be good to kind of be all together in one space. The radio is all the way at the other end of the room because that's where the line is. So I had to run over there in case we get any MSN messages. I wanted to have the opportunity for Marlena to have a microphone. Okay, now it's time for questions. And the way we're going to do the questions to our candidates is that we're going to take 1 minute answers. Everything will be 1 minute tonight. And so you can think about how you want to do this. So this is for our BOP positions. And we'll take our first question. What do you think would make the Braille Forum a more effective tool for ACB? What do you think would make the Braille Forum a more effective tool for ACB? Let's go to Deanna first.
He's knocking the mic against my bracelet, so sorry, folks. One of the things that the Braille Forum doesn't have is a good, spiffy, colorful look to it. So when it's left in the optometrist's office and the average person picks it up, it looks pretty dry because there aren't a lot of colorful pictures, there aren't a lot of catchy titles for things. Part of that is that because of reduced revenues, we've had to really cut it back in size in order to get out as many issues as we possibly can. And that means we have to stick mostly to things that affect ACB, giving you information. What are we doing? And where are we going? And what stances are we taking politically? That kind of thing. But someone who's new to vision loss doesn't know us well enough to know that we are really a pretty nifty group. So that's...
Let's go to Ken Stewart.
Thank you, Jay. Actually, that's the question that I think any member of the Board of Publications should be taking with them to ask to members. I've been listening very closely all week. That's what I want to know so that I can represent the interests of our intended audience, the Braille Forum. And, of course, the intended audience is not just members of ACB, but that's really the face of our organization to the outside world. So I want to know from others. And as I say, I'm a third-party neutral. I'm trained to listen to other people before I make my judgments. And I want to do a lot of listening and then carry forward. When I was on the Board of Publications my previous term, I contributed to some constructive tweaking, I'll say. And I think we did improve it, and I think we can continue to do that. But the most important thing for me is to know what the reading audience wants to know and then figure out how to carry that out. Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. And you can just pass that microphone along over here to our friend Cindy.
Okay. The way that I believe that we could utilize the Braille Forum to benefit ACB is to promote ACB fundraising and ACB projects and programs in the Braille Forum as well as on the website and through ACB Radio so that the entire membership as well as people who are interested in the blindness community and friends of ACB would be able to read about it in a timely manner. I think that we should be tooting our own horn and we can use it via the Braille Forum. Thank you.
Deanna, Cindy, thank you very much. We're going to say hello to all our friends who are listening in on ACB Radio. We hope you're enjoying this, and if you just tuned in and you're wondering what the heck is going on, This is the Candidates Forum, the annual event which is sponsored by the ACB Board of Publications. And I'm asking questions of them. These questions were made up by a panel chosen by the BOP. If any of you here in the audience have a question, you can come out to the end of the aisle and stand by the end of the table, and I'll get to you. We have a little time here. I'm going to go to the second question for our candidates. This question has to do with the BOP and the Internet. It says, what should the role of the BOP be in relation to the ACB Internet media? You got the question? All right, let's see. We'll go this time to Ken for the answer to that. ACB Internet media and the role of the BOP.
You're saying Internet medium?
Internet medias.
When I was on the Board of Publications previously, I encouraged the Board of Publications to reach out to the Internet Access Committee. Initially, I got good support, but then my support kind of fell through. But I was very pleased that the new Board of Publications that followed my term immediately voted unanimously to place the chair of the Internet Access Committee on the Board of Publications as an ex officio member. So I think the Board of Publications needs to pay close attention to every medium of communication within our organization. Every single one of them. Who knows, maybe next year, 5 years from now, there's going to be another medium. So I think the Board of Publications has a very intense responsibility and accountability for having the best possible communications, whether it's ink, print, telephone, Internet, email. Communications connect us. Thank you.
Just pass this on to Cindy, please. Cindy Van Winkle.
It is the responsibility of the Board of Publications to work directly with our webmaster and the directors of ACB Radio. And I believe that we should continue to do the work that we already are doing in that manner. We should expect annual reports as well as hear from the directors or coordinators of those entities whenever necessary and be kept apprised of any updates or changes that are being made. I also think it is our responsibility as BOP members to be checking out the website and to be offering some advice or ideas on ways to positively change and make better the website, listening to the membership and doing so. Thank you.
All right, Cindy, thanks. Should you pass that on to Deanna, please?
Okay. I am, like many, very slow to have joined the computer age. I am a writer, so the first part of my introduction to it was as a writing tool so that I didn't have to own stock in the Strike White company. But slowly that progressed on, and I got involved in the email part of it. And I think that it is a rapid tool for communication, getting the word out. I don't think it replaces the telephone, because so many times things that are posted on the Internet, you can't get the tone of voice. And oftentimes misunderstandings come because not everybody is a writer and not everybody expresses themselves articulately. So as far as, I guess, I see my role as a sort of a troubleshooter. When a problem develops, I'm creative enough to find an answer.
All right. Thank you, Deanna. We have three people standing here in the aisle now, and I think that'll probably be take up. We'll see. I was going to say that we'll have to cut it at some point, but let's wait a little bit longer. Okay, who are you?
I'm Kevin Daniel, the Vice President of the Austin, Texas chapter of ACB.
Okay, Kevin, nice to meet you. What's your question?
I'm a huge James Michener fan. I enjoy his ability to tell a complex story with elegance and ease. Can I ask which writer you most enjoy and what characteristic of that writer do you possess?
That's a good one. Okay, let's see. Yeah, you want? Can you? I'd like to repeat that again, and then since I don't have to write, that's good.
I'm a big James Michener fan. I enjoy his ability to tell a complex story with ease and elegance. Which writer do you most enjoy, and what characteristic of that writer do you possess?
Okay, let's see. Cindy, would you like to start with that, please? And Deanna, you can just give the mic to...
Wow. I love poetry, and so I think that I would probably say Robert Frost, and I think that I love his descriptive... just his descriptive way of... and parallels that he does. And stopping by woods on a snowy evening is something I'd like to do right about now. Wow, it's really humid outside, and I am so tired. So, yeah, it would be Robert Frost.
All right, let's see. Ken?
An impossible question to answer. I'm mostly a nonfiction reader, but I know one of the top on my list is Harper Lee's To Kill a Mockingbird. I think this is fantastic. Thank you, yes. At least one person agrees with me. And in nonfiction, one of my favorite writers right now is the columnist in Newsweek magazine, Fareed Zakaria. Boy, he nails it every week what's going on in the world. So, but I'm a voracious reader, and it's just impossible. I got dozens of favorites. Thanks.
All right. Deanna, what do you think about your writer?
Oh, we were sort of gossiping back here. I was telling Cindy that To Kill a Mockingbird, I got my own copy of it when my nephew gave me a Barnes & Noble card and a list of all the Braille material that Barnes & Noble sells. So that's what I spent it on. But my favorite author is Steinbeck because he turns everyday life into poetry. And also, he has a great belief in the human spirit. No matter how difficult life is for his characters, no matter how much they get trampled down, they always take that one step forward. It may be two steps back, but it's that one step forward. And I'm a great believer in never giving up the fight and pushing your limits. And if you believe in what you say, then you've got to stand up and be counted.
Right, Deanna, thanks very much. If you just tuned in to ACB Radio, you're listening to the Board of Publications 2006 Candidates Forum. We're interviewing the BOP candidates. Elections are tomorrow. We have somebody standing here in the audience who I recognize, and I'm going to let him introduce himself and give his question.
Hi, I'm Michael Byington. I'm president of the Kansas ACB affiliate. Folks, in the not-too-distant past, we had a Braille Forum editor resign, and there was certainly some controversy about that issue and how it was done. In light of that, I would like each of you to explain your understanding of the relationship, and particularly the supervisory relationship, between the Board of Publications, the Executive Director, and the President and Board of ACB with regard to the Braille Forum editor and other employees that deal with media within ACB. And please explain how the Constitution and your understanding of that guides you in your answer.
Do you want Michael to repeat that? Would you like to hear it again, really? Do you have the scope of it? They're conferring among themselves. I think they're okay. Okay, let's see here. Let's see what Deanna has to say about that one.
I'm still holding the mic. Okay. This is a difficult one. My role as a member of the Board of Publications is to see that you receive both sides of the story and fact, not vituperative, negative sort of things, because I think that gets in the way, heats up the issue. But you need to know what the real details are. So I believe in freedom of the press, but I also believe in courtesy. I don't think anyone is served when people are treated badly or attacked publicly. So my watchword is information. As far as supervising the staff, I think that if they come to us when they're confused about something, that's when we are supposed to step in.
All right. Thanks, Deanna. Okay, Ken, what do you think about this?
Very timely question, Michael. This week in the Constitution and Bylaws Committee, there's been discussion about that. Article 7 in the bylaws, the proposals to move it into the Constitution itself, and it is very specific about that. And I remember several years ago when I was on the board, there were different interpretations of just what you're asking about. The basic principle that we need to figure out how to say as clearly as possible in the Constitution is that there must be a wall between the editor of the Braille form and the executive director and the president. We must be able to, the entire membership must be able to depend on the Braille form and other communications media to say what's going on, call it like it is, to expose complaints, to air two or more sides of controversy. So it's very important that there be a remoteness between those decision makers, and the Board of Publications is properly between those entities and is in a supervisory role, I believe, an actively supervisory role over the editor. Thank you.
Thank you, Ken Stewart. Now, let's go to Cindy Van Winkle. Let me see.
No. He turned it off. Ken, are you setting me up? Wow.
I learned in broadcasting a long time ago, never have a microphone with a switch on it.
Okay. I'm going to try and answer this. I believe that first and foremost, the Board of Publications is responsible for the ultimate product of the Braille Forum that every member and other people receive on a monthly or bimonthly basis. I believe that that Braille Forum should be representative of the American Council of the Blind, who's putting it together. I also believe that constitutionally, via our bylaw, and if it goes to a constitution, becomes an amended constitutionally, I do believe that the Board of Publication is ultimately responsible to work with the editor of the Braille Forum, oversee the Braille Forum, and cannot act upon without directly working with the executive director to either the Board of Publications puts their stamp of approval with the executive director on hiring or letting go of an editor. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now we have another question from the audience, and I think I recognize this man too, but I'll let him introduce himself.
This is Frank Welty, and I am the first vice president of the San Mateo, California Council of the Blind and a board member of the Blind Information Technology Specialists. My question is a follow-up of sorts of Mr. Byington's question, but I want to get right to the heart of an important matter. In each of your opinion, what is the fundamental role of the Board of Publications within the ACB organizational structure? And I want you to choose between one of two things and not waffle. Namely, is it essentially a committee subject to the rulings and leadership of the president and or the board of directors, as is the case with other committees in ACB, or is it along the lines of federal separation of powers intended as an independent oversight board for publications of ACB, which is not necessarily dependent upon the approval of ACB leadership?
Hi, how's that? You understand it? I think it was pretty clear and straightforward. Let's see here. Ken, would you like to start?
Two in a row, sure. To me, it's unequivocally the second, Frank. It's extremely important that the how to say this, that the Braille Forum and the Board of Publications be independent in deciding what's valuable and important and essential for the membership to learn. Communication, media, extremely important for that connection between the membership and the leadership. And the Constitution itself, the bylaw that I mentioned earlier, reflects that in the fact that there are five members on the Board of Publications that vote. Three of them are elected by the membership, two appointed by the president. That indicates that we recognize the need to have the president connected to the board, but the president only controls at most two people of the five. So that, to me, that's the proof right there, that it's independent of the control of others as a committee would be.
All right, Ken, thanks. Let's go to Cindy. You can just hand the mic to Cindy.
I have it. I agree that, and thank you for leaving the switch on this time, Ken. I agree that we are an independent body of the board of directors and the president. During our meetings, it's usually just the board of publications members, as well as a couple of ex officio members, and occasionally somebody to give a report. I think that in the last 2 years, maybe once or twice, has the president appeared on our calls to give some information, and it truly has been just for informational purposes only. Now, if we wanted some policy changes that would require financial support by the board of directors, then we may present something to the board of directors. However, all of our decisions in regards to the Braille Forum have been by the board of publications. If he could do it, I can too.
Does that mean you turned off my switch? No, okay. Okay. This board of publications is a somewhat diverse group. We discuss, we haggle over things, we don't always agree, but once we've made a decision, we don't go running around complaining about it behind everyone's back and stirring up trouble. We try to speak with one voice, and we do this because when we come to a consensus, we are trying to figure out what the membership wants us to do with this. And it's important that we represent the members, not any particular faction within the organization. We work very closely with both the executive director and the editor. But we don't really interfere with any of those things. We act as a consulting board and a policy board. Writing guidelines is what we do.
All right. Thank you very much, Deanna. Are there any other questions from the audience? If not, then I think this will conclude this portion of our proceedings. We want to thank our candidates for coming up here tonight and being in the hot seat. We want to thank all of you for tuning in to ACB Radio. Don't go away. Stay tuned because there's more. We're going to take a break. I'm going to ask the board candidates to come forward now and take these seats up here. So it's the board next as ACB Radio and this candidates forum continues.
Freedom Scientific, a leader in Braille, screen reader, and low vision technology, is proud to participate in the 2006 ACB Convention. For details on products and services, visit freedomscientific.com or call 800-444-4443. Freedom Scientific, everything in sight. Merging 30 years of refreshable Braille know-how with 21st century access, Optilec is your source for wireless Braille access to the mainstream devices that you need, while increasing your choices to a wide range of applications right at your fingertips. Learn more about Optilec's wireless Braille assistance at the ACB convention in Jacksonville or visit Optilec.com. That's OPTELEC.com. Serotech, manufacturers of Freedom Box products and system access, is proud to be a partner at the 2006 ACB National Convention. More information on Serotech products and services is available at www.freedombox.info or by calling toll-free 866-202-0520 in the U.S. Serotech, providing you accessibility anywhere.
You're listening to the Candidates Forum on ACB Radio Mainstream. I'm Chrissy Cochran, and Marlena Lieberg is with me. We'll be back in just a minute. Listening to ACB Radio Mainstream's coverage of the Candidates Forum, and now we're ready to resume. So, back over to J-Town.
All right, thank you, and thank you, Chrissy. Chrissy, you just introduced me, and we're back on the air on ACB Radio, and we're here at the Candidates Forum. I'm walking. I'm running now from the 50-yard line. I made it. Hi, gang. We're here for part two. And we did see some more people come in. And I'll just repeat again that I've asked everybody to turn off their cell phones. And I've asked everybody not to carry on conversations because tonight the conversations are with the candidates, because they're seriously considering these positions. They obviously are dedicating themselves to ACB to be volunteers, to do some work for ACB, and we owe them our undivided attention. I'm going to introduce again this evening our immediate past president of ACB, my good friend Mr. Paul Edwards, and he's here as our timer this evening. All right. That's the way that goes. Now, let's see. I'm going to read you the list, and I decided to... I want to say one thing. I'm very glad that I learned Braille a long time ago. I mean, I, as most of you know, I have partial vision. But I really am one of these people who does much better in Braille for things like this. I find it a lot easier. All right, so here's the list of people, not necessarily as they're sitting up there, but as I Brailled it yesterday when I borrowed Pam's Braille writer. Jeff Tom, Ray Campbell, Brenda Dillon, Carla Rushable, Carol Ewing, Billy Jean Keith, and Pat Sheehan. Those are our candidates that are here tonight. Now, what I'm going to do is, you remember last year when we did this in Las Vegas, I was forgetting sometimes who I called on. So I now have the two-pocket method tonight. I have pieces of paper here with all these names on them, and I'm going to put them in my left pocket. And then as I ask a question of that person, I'm going to put it in my right pocket. And then when I'm done, I'm going to go from the right to the left. So there won't be any confusing. I have to be ambidextrous. That's very correct. So that's the way we're going to do it, and this was brought up to me. In fact, it was very funny. After in Las Vegas, as soon as we were done, I do not remember who it was, and maybe that person's here tonight. They seriously came up to me afterwards and said, why don't you put them on a piece of paper and switch them from pocket to pocket? I don't remember who that was, but I'm going to do it. You're saying it was Ken Stewart? Okay. We thank Ken for the two-pocket method. Okay, we have some questions that were submitted by a panel. Oh, yes, sorry. I'm jumping the gun here. We have opening statements from our candidates this evening. And where is that microphone that she gave me? Oh, I left it by the timer. There we go. I left the mic by the timer. There we go. Thank you, Paul. As my boss always says, I need a keeper. Somebody to take care of me. Okay, let's see. We're going to start. We won't necessarily go in order down the row here. We're going to try to mix it up a little bit to start. So, 1 minute opening statements from our candidates this evening, and I'm going to hand the microphone first to Billie Jean Keith for a 1 minute opening statement.
Thank you, Jay. Well, I'm Billie Jean Keith. I'm hoping to win my second term on the Board of Publication. Years ago.
Yeah, you were on that already.
We started these caucuses at 7 this morning, and this is 15 hours of us talking about ourselves. Anyway, I would like to serve on the Board of Directors for the second and last term. The thing I'm most interested in, I think, is communication of services, things that are helpful to people who are visually impaired. I wrote the Here and There column for a while, and it was all about services and products and things that are of assistance to blind people. And that is one of my big strong points, I think. And I also have served on the Board of Publications, so that was sort of second nature to say that. But communication, I think, is the thing I can bring to the board. Thank you.
Hi, Billie Jean. Will you pass that microphone to your left down to, and it can stop at Brenda Dillon.
Oh,
Just pass it to your left. There you go. All right, Brenda?
Good evening. I'm Brenda Dillon, President of the Tennessee Council of the Blind. I'm seeking a position on the ACB Board of Directors. I chair my Mayor's Advisory Committee for People with Disabilities, and I think I've really honed my leadership skills in that position because I work with a diversity of disability groups, and they all have their agendas and their needs, and it's my challenge to make sure that everybody goes away satisfied, and sometimes that's a tough order. I also chair the Paratransit Advisory Council in Nashville, and we recently were able to get increased funding and expand our paratransit service beyond the ADA requirements. This year, I served as coordinator for ACB's advertising and sponsorship for the convention, brought thousands of dollars in which were not previously available to the convention, and in addition to real dollars, I also got things like free airline tickets for scholarship winners so that that was not an out-of-pocket expense for ACB. I serve 3 years currently on the membership committee, and I think membership and fundraising and legislation are all important, and I've done them all.
Wow. Very good. Let's move that microphone to your left over to Pat Sheehan.
Hello, everybody. This is Pat Sheehan, and I am also seeking a position on the Board of Directors. I am on the Board of Directors currently, and I'm seeking either a 4-year or 2-year term. I'll be running from the floor. I think the one thing that I'd first like to say, and I've said it all day long, I've said it to all the caucuses, is that I have considered the last 4 years to be a real privilege and honor to serve all the individuals within ACB. I think that I bring a certain set of skills to the job, and I hopefully will be able to discuss how I have done advocacy work in pedestrian safety, working with the currency issues, and my role with transportation. But I think it's about service, and I'm hoping that I get a chance to serve ACB folks for the next 4 years. Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much, Pat. Pass that to your right to Carla. Carla Rushville.
Thank you very much, Jay. I became involved in ACB at a very young age. I attended my first national convention when I was 17. And I have, over the years, attended 31 national conventions. I've been involved in 13 of those conventions as either the convention coordinator or in some other capacity, either on the local host committee or the national convention committee. I currently serve as the site selection and events coordinator on the committee and am chair of the committee. I take pride in the things that we have been able to accomplish in the convention to increase membership in ACB. I also think it's important to have finance and public relations as major keys, and I'd like to speak to you about that in more detail in the coming questions. I hope you'll vote for me tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you, Carla. You can pass that to the right, and let us stop at Jeff Tom. Sorry, it's way to the right. Yeah, that doesn't mean he's a right winger. It just means that he's sitting further right.
I'm not going to touch that line.
And I'm not going. And I'm not going to say any more about it either. So,
good evening. I'm Jeff Tom, president of the California Council of the Blind. I'd like to take this opportunity to tell you just a bit about why serving on the board of directors of the American Council of the Blind is so important to me, and why I hope that you elect me to that position. Growing up, I was the type of blind kid who would never do anything that any other blind person did. But while attending law school, I came to realize that I was a part of a very important community. I began to realize and find my identity as a blind person, and I knew that one of the most important things in my life would be working for all blind and visually impaired persons. So serving on the board of directors, if you elect me to that position, would give me one more opportunity to help all persons who are blind or visually impaired. And I hope that you will consider me for that position. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jeff. Now, using the two-pocket method, I have two pieces of paper left. And so I'm going to pass this microphone to Ray Campbell.
Thank you, Jay. Good evening, audience, and hello, world. My name is Ray Campbell, and I am seeking a four-year term on the ACB Board of Directors. I've been a member of ACB for 16 years, and I got involved in ACB because I was very blessed growing up as a blind child on a farm to have many people who helped me along the way by providing me things and helping me with helping me to become a successful blind adult. I joined ACB because I saw it then, and I see it now as a way to give back to the blind and visually impaired community to help people meet their full potential. Being a member of the board will allow me to work for you, the members, and do what we can so that you can meet your full potential as ACB members. I certainly hope you'll consider me for the board, and I look forward to your discussion this evening. Thank you.
Okay, Ray, and now... Carol Ewing.
Hi, this is Carol Ewing. And in February, I was appointed to fill an empty slot on the board of directors and now look to be elected to finish that term, meaning 2 years. I've been legally blind 15 years, so about 14 years ago, searched to find the right organization to be part of that would give me strength and the ability to accomplish what I needed to accomplish as a legally blind person. Found ACB, went to the first convention in Phoenix, Arizona in 1992 for 4 days. Couldn't imagine what you do in seven, but after being there for that period of time, have never cut one short and certainly do come early.
All right. Thank you very much.
I still have 10 seconds. Yeah.
Mr. Timer tries to be inobtrusive, but he...
Does he?
Sometimes stops.
He did very...
He has a way of stopping you dead in your tracks, if you don't...
Very good.
If you
I just
him.
Am here to be of service. What else can I say?
That's
yes.
Okay.
Thank
very
you.
Good. Just don't let him stop you dead in your tracks.
It's that gorgeous.
All right, let's see. We're going to move on to our first question from this panel that the BOP put together. For our first question, this has to do with relationships. No, wait, cut it off. Already heard some comments back there. The relationship between the ACB board and the ACB employees. What do you think the relationship should be between the ACB board and the staff? That would be the national office staff. And let's see. Let's go first to see Carol has it now. Jeff, stand there near you. Why don't you start?
Well, in general, the ACB board is the policy-making entity of this organization. The ACB president is the supervisor of the staff. Thus, I believe that it is the purpose of the board to set personnel policies, and it is the purpose of, or it is a duty of the president to carry out those policies and perform the day-to-day supervision of the staff. There may be instances when the president feels that it is necessary to bring personnel issues to the board. And in those issues, obviously, the board needs to take action. But in general, on a day-to-day basis, the supervision of the staff is a presidential duty, not a board one.
I thank you, Jeff. Let's send that down to Ray Campbell, please.
Thank you. The ACB board is to be a policy-making body, provided, of course, that we do not make policy that goes against what the membership, which is the supreme authority of ACB, has asked us to do. The board hires and pays an executive director who is supervised by the president to handle the day-to-day operations of our national office and provide supervision to the staff. And I think that's the way I see it. The staff is responsible day-to-day to the executive director. There are times when we do need to look at personnel policies, or maybe a staff person perhaps feels that they've been wronged in some way, or they have an issue and they need to bring it to the board of directors in like an appeal type situation. But for the most part, I believe the executive director handles the day-to-day supervisory responsibilities over the staff, and the board is there as a policy-making body and working with the president, supervise the executive director. Thank you.
All right, thanks very much. Would you hand that to Billie Jean, please? Billie Jean Keith.
Well, I am lucky. I live in the Washington, D.C. area, just over the river. And because I live near the national office, I can go in and volunteer. And I have, over the years, I've been able to help them by attending hearings. And also, I've drafted some letters that needed to go to Congress people. And just wanted to help so I could free up their time. This may sound frivolous, but I don't think it is. I did lick all the envelopes for the scholarship applications, and that was because then I could freed up that time, and it took about 3 hours, freed up that time for them to provide direct services to the public and to members of ACB. And I do like going into the office, but I don't think it's my place to be a monitor or anything like that. I go into work. I don't ask them what they're doing. I go into work and answer the phones.
Thank you, Billie Jean. You poor dear. I'm going to donate a sponge to the staff. You can look for that in the mail.
I really did lick them.
Yeah, you can look for that in the mail soon.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Pass that on to Melanie, will you?
To Millie?
Carol Ewing?
Oh, Carol. Here you go. I've been involved with nonprofits before. The board of directors provides policy and procedures. The executive director is responsible to the president, who reviews that, and the staff then is responsible to the executive director. The board of directors plays a great part in the organization of the and the implementation of the policy procedures for the American Council of the Blind.
Thanks. Okay, let's go down to Brenda Dillon.
Well, I agree with the remarks made that it's certainly clear that the board is a policy-making and procedure body, but I think as job descriptions outline specific tasks to be accomplished by specific individuals, whether they be paid staff or whether it's responsibilities that we take on as board members, whether it's overseeing a particular committee, being a liaison on a particular project, I think ideally we're all working for the same end, which is to get the work of ACB done to advance the mission of ACB, and I don't see that we have to be adversaries. I think that we should be able to work together, and it shouldn't be a us against them kind of thing.
Thank you, Brenda. Let's give this one to Pat. Send that to your left, Brenda.
Thank you very much. I think one of the nice things about being last is everything's probably been said already, so it makes it easier for me. I'm close to last, though. I think one of the elements, though, that hasn't been spoken about is the area of trust. I think that establishing trust between the members of the board of directors and the staff is very, very critical. I don't believe that the board of directors should be giving staff work directly. I think that has to be coordinated through the executive director. But I think that the staff should feel comfortable to talk to board members if they need clarification on getting the work done. And I think that getting the trust is a job that both the board members and staff need to work on. Thank you.
All right, Pat, thanks. And finally, for this first question, Carla Rushable.
Thank you, Jay. Of course, according to all of our constitution and bylaws, the board does set the policy. The board hires or recommends to the hiring of the executive director. The president supervises the executive director, and the executive director supervises staff. Now, we usually think of staff most of the time as D.C. staff, but ACB has lots of different staff. We have staff in D.C., and we have staff in Minnesota. But then there's another component to this picture, too, and that is the people with whom ACB contracts for specific things. And those individuals also may not be supervised by the executive director, but may be supervised directly by the president. In any case, the board is the policy-setting organization, part of the organization, and also can assist when issues are brought before it. And I have upheld that policy.
Thank you, Carla. And I want to say hello to all our friends listening around the world on ACB Radio. And if you just tuned in, this is the annual Board of Publications Candidates Forum 2006 edition. And I want to say to our audience here in the Grand Ballroom that if you have a question for the candidates, please go out to the end of the table and stand there and wait for me, and I'll be there after this question. So you can... I see you, Frank. That's good. Just stay put for a minute. And, well, for a little few minutes, because we're going to ask another question from this list here, and then we'll go to you. All right. This question comes from the BOP panel. What should ACB do to reach out and retain members? Let's go to Brenda Dillon for that one.
I believe that membership gaining and retaining begins with us as individuals, and I think it starts at the local level, at the state level, and of course it impacts the national level. I feel like we need to be in the schools for the blind, in the public school programs, reaching out to our young students. Providing them with scholarships is great, but we want to get them involved. We want to do technology fairs and participate in their career days. We want to go into the senior citizen centers where people are losing their vision and are reluctant to come to us. Let's go to them with descriptive movie nights and things that will, first of all, break that barrier and make them comfortable to relate to us. I believe that membership is very important, and communicating and getting people involved, making them feel ownership. When someone comes to a meeting, it's not enough to let them introduce themselves. You got to let them talk about themselves and say things that help other people to connect with them so that they're interested in coming back, and offer stimulating programs. And I believe that membership is very important.
All right. Thanks very much. You can hand that mic to Carla.
Thank you, Jay. I think that the convention is one of ACB's major means by which to recruit members. We have so many first-timers here, and it's wonderful to see them. But, you know, we have to follow up. We have to follow up on the local level, the state level, special interest level, in order to make sure that those people do, in fact, continue to come to ACB. There are other aspects of membership, too. In the last year, the last few years, I have been active in recruiting members in our state chapter. Just this spring, we recruited some young people into ACB, and Darren Hatch, the Dover K. McDaniel first-timer from east of Mississippi, is a result of some of that recruitment effort. Membership is a one-on-one thing. If each person in this organization recruited one person next year, just think how tremendous that would be. Membership is absolutely critical to the future of this organization, and we all need to get out there and do a better job of recruiting, no matter how great we think we're doing right now.
Thanks, Carla. Would you pass that mic to Pat Sheehan, please?
Thank you very much. One of the areas that I have found that we have gotten the greatest response in the Washington, D.C. area, and and gotten people involved in ACB is to put together programs that they are interested in. For instance, we seem to pack the hall whenever we talk about transportation issues, whether it's paratransit or bus services or whatever, so that when you get a room full of people and they're focused on a area like transportation, it seems to work very, very well. So we have done a very good job of being able to recruit members when we put innovative programs together on the local level. When you're talking about individual seniors who are losing their visions, I've worked in the Washington, D.C. area with the Prevention of Blindness Society to go to certain areas and talk to those people in their community centers and engage them in belonging to ACB. So
Okay, Pat, thanks. Let's go to I had to run to the other side of the room and I got to get my Carol Ewing. And while we're getting the mic to Carol, Kevin, you can sit down, save your feet. I'll get to you, promise. We did get an MSN question, and that came in just before Kevin got up. So we'll get to Kevin after a while. Right now, here's Carol to answer that question.
Yes. I've listened to what everyone has said, and everyone, the ideas are excellent. But the main thing that I have found is the personal touch. Just a phone call, just to be aware of other people's problems. The ones, my elderly folks for the Nevada, think they're the only ones that have been visually impaired. And no one else is. The wheel is reinvented for them. I have a couple of members for Nevada that I phone twice a year. They have never attended a meeting, but they pay their dues. They're proud to be a member. They're happy to be part of the statistics that we deal with in a legislative process, that we deal with as we build programs for them, whether they're out, whether they're homebound, or whether they even want to come out. I have one lady who says, I know I'm blind, but I don't want to be around those blind people, but tell me what's going on, you know. So those are issues that are real in their lives, so we have to deal with those. I will say, though, when you guys came to Las Vegas, I did get probably a dozen people there who were newly blind, and the strength they received from being with you was tremendous, just being able to rub shoulders and knowing that there is life after blindness. A couple of people have said, I think I'll commit suicide.
Billie Jean, membership.
Thank you. Well, I want to hearken back to communications. I remember about 3 or 4 years ago, we had a speaker from Microsoft. And I know Microsoft have done their research, but they told us that probably 19% of people who are blind are computer literate. And I think even though most of us here, and I'm speaking to people who are listening on their computers, are here in the and use computers, I still think there are a lot of people who need to have information a different way, and they need it either through the Braille Forum, which I think is our front window, and through telephone methods. I think it's just a one-on-one thing occasionally. And in our state, people will call the national office, and they will refer them to Northern Virginia, some of our members, and we are used to getting calls from people who, like Carol was saying, are terrified. They think their life is over. And we have had people who have also said they were going to commit suicide. And that lady is a board member on our local chapter now.
Thank you, Billie.
She still doesn't use a computer.
Well, one of these days she'll come around. Hand that to Jeff, please. Oh, that was a ping pong ball. It's okay.
Yeah, that's right. I want to liven up the audience out there. Thank you. Again, as I believe Pat said on the last question, It is nice when so many great answers have already been given. But I'd like to focus on a couple of things that can be done at the national level and as well as at the local level for retaining members, keeping them active. First, in California, we have a weekly update through our California Connection, which is available by either telephone or email. It includes all of the important advocacy information, job openings, all different types of items that we think members need to keep informed. We need to have the same thing operational as part of the Washington Connection. Now, we don't have may not have the staff, which is already burdened already, to do this, but we can certainly use volunteers to get this done. I'd also like to see a greater effort to involve more members at the national level in committees. Let's put in the forum what these committees do so that people know their work, and let's seek their participation. Thank you.
All right, Jeff, thanks very much. So let's go to Ray Campbell for the final person for this question.
And I am last. I think that a couple of thoughts I'd like to share on this issue. I think, first of all, we need to reach out to that senior population, the people dealing with the epidemic of macular degeneration. As visually impaired coordinator at a Center for Independent Living for 3 years, I've sat in the homes of seniors who feel their lives are over because they're blind. We need to reach out to them, show them that there is a good quality of life after blindness, and get them into our organizations and get them active. I think we need to also reach out more to younger people. Giving out scholarships is wonderful, but what we need to be doing with those scholarship winners is getting their names back to their local chapters and state affiliates so they can get them active and get them in and sitting right up here eventually.
Thanks, Ray. We have a couple of questions here that are going to be asked by the audience and our radio audience as well. So right now, one from our audience here in Jacksonville, Florida.
This is Frank Welty from California. After all of the politicking and campaigning is over tomorrow, it will be the fundamental responsibility of this constituted convention to select the most cohesive and most talented leadership team we can find from within our community. To that end, the question to each of you is, what are those skills and traits that uniquely qualify you to be a member of the ACB leadership team? Put another way, what is it that makes you indispensable to ACB leadership?
All right, let's move that microphone to the left down to Carla. Let Carla answer that one first this time, okay?
Thank you, Jay, for having me go first. I would like to say, first of all, that I think it's important for the board, yes, to be cohesive, but I do not think it's important for the board to always think alike. In fact, I think it's very important for the board to consider each of us to consider issues as they come along. You know, ACB is a large family, and sometimes that family agrees or disagrees. It is, I think, our responsibility to consider each individual item as it comes before us, both individually and as a whole. And I feel that I have been able to do that, and I will continue to do that, to consider how those issues that we are going to consider will affect you individually, you as state and special interest affiliates, and ACB as a national organization. It is our responsibility to be independent thinkers.
Thank you, Carla. You can pass that to Ray Campbell.
Through my almost 20 years total of work history, as well as working in my local chapter, state affiliate, and nationally, I've worked in teams. Frank, I think you said the most important word, team. I'm a team player. I will state my opinions. I'll listen. But ultimately, in the end, whatever the decision is made, I'm going to support it. I also think that I bring experience. I've served nationally as Constitution and Bylaws Committee Chair for 5 years, including this year. I served for 4 years as resolution on the Resolutions Committee, and I believe that serving on those two national committees are what really has gotten me finally prepared to take on this role of trust as a leader that hopefully you will bring to me tomorrow as a director of ACB. So I believe teamwork and experience are the things that I will bring and to the ACB leadership team.
Billie Jean?
Frank Welty, I think you ask the most cogent questions of just about anybody I know. Really, I don't think anybody's indispensable, anyone who's serving on the board or who aspires to serve on the board. But some of us have, as Carla said, some of us have gifts in one way and some in another way. And there are some things that just kind of get my that I really, really get excited about working on, such as something to do with public relations. And then there's some things that come up that we are supposed to deal with that just make you groan inwardly. So I think together we make a cohesive team. And I think Frank ought to run for the board one day with all those questions.
I thank Billie Jean. Give that to Jeff, please.
Jeff. Coming down.
Okay, thank you. Very good question, Frank. I agree. As president of the California Council of the Blind, I've had the privilege of working with a highly successful affiliate. Did I do it all? No way. But did I engender the spirit of teamwork and cohesiveness that allowed it to be done? Yes, I think I can take some credit for that. Moreover, I've worked for over 20 years with the California State Legislature, and for the last several years as a supervisor. I know what it takes to work in a manner which engenders a team spirit, which engenders cohesiveness, consensus, and cooperation. I will bring that to the board. For the bottom line is that we must get the job done if this organization is to maximize its potential. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. And pass that to your left down to Pat Sheehan, please. If you just tuned in to ACB Radio, you're listening to the Candidates Forum, which is sponsored by the Board of Publications. My name is Jay Doudna, and his name is Pat Sheehan.
Thank you very much. I would like to say a personal charm, but it wouldn't be nice to lie to ACB, so I won't say that. I think that some of the areas that I've worked in, areas that I've sort of specialized in, I'm hoping that I can bring those to the board. I think that in areas of transportation, particularly when we're dealing with paratransit issues, accessible buses, accessible rail, those are areas that I've worked in that I have some experience and I can share my expertise in. Certainly, I have an awful lot to learn from other members on the board. I've worked in the areas of pedestrian safety, and I think that I can bring those also to the board. And Section 508 with technology and technology access in the areas of video description are all areas that I've had some passion and expertise in. And not that I'm an expert in any of these areas, but because I've enjoyed doing that sort of thing within the state of Maryland, I continue to bring those areas to the board and learn from the board and see how I can contribute. Thank you.
Thank you. And finally, for this question, Carol Ewing. The mic's coming. Oh, don't tell me I put Brenda's card in my pocket already. I did. Go ahead, Carol.
I guess, Jay, do you have a hole in that pocket or something?
No. I know what I did. I was thinking of you being the last question, and Brenda would be next, and I put it in my pocket already.
Oh, listen to him.
Can't do that.
Thinking too fast. Oh, Frank, I certainly am replaceable. I don't have that ego at all. The thing I think I bring to the ACB board is seeing the potential for ACB
and the support that it can give to our huge population that is losing vision, that needs that strength and courage that ACB gives. I've owned my own business. I've been very active in 501c3 volunteer positions on their board, their finance committee chair, their treasurer for a number of years, the nominating committee. I've seen that that organization grew and had a firm foundation. I think that ACB needs to go tall and broad, but the foundation has to be extremely, extremely solid. We cannot let it fall. Thanks.
All right. Thanks very much, Carol. And now I'll pass that to your left, back down to Brenda Dillon.
Thank you, Jay. I'm an effective advocate. I feel like I can inspire and energize others. I got my United States Congressman, and again, like Jeff Tom said, I didn't do it by myself, but I came up with a strategy to get enough people involved that we got him to become a co-sponsor on the descriptive video restoration. I persuaded the state legislature to give us $200,000 and got matching funds from our state services for the blind to provide dial-in newspaper service. I really feel that I am capable and I'm willing to work hard, and I think I'm a good choice.
Thanks, Brenda. All right, we have a question from the Internet, and Marlena Lieberg from ACB Radio is here to give us the question.
Okay, Caroline Congdon from Milwaukee, Wisconsin has a question that says, by the end of your term, where would you like to see ACB? What would you like to see ACB doing, and what will you do to ensure that that happens?
All right, let's go to Ray Campbell.
Thank you, and thank you, Caroline, for that good question there. I think by the end of my term, I'd like to see ACB be a household word, not just among people who are blind, but around the houses of people all over the nation, that when they think of blindness, the first organization they think of is ACB. I think the kinds of things I'd like to see ACB doing are more and better and continuing to improve on advocacy work throughout the nation. There's a lot of stuff that needs to be done. And how will we get there? That's a tall chore, but I feel like I'd like to take a shot at it.
All right. Thank you, Ray. Pass that over to Jeff Tom, please.
I suppose when I think of ACB at the end of my term, I see it as focused as exclusively as possible on the work that we're here to do, and that is advocating for blind and visually impaired persons. To achieve that end, we have to do several things. We have to obviously improve our fundraising efforts so that we can increase our revenues. We have to make sure that we are all on the same page, and we have to, as Frank put it a bit ago, ensure that we have a sense of trust and teamwork amongst the board, the special interest and state affiliates, and all of you. And I, as I said in the last question, will try to engender that spirit so that we can really perform the advocacy work that we're doing.
Thank you, Jeff. Carol Ewing, this question.
Remember, we're talking 2 years here. But I think, as Ray just said, ACB should be a household word. And once we have that accomplished, then our profits will be there, our monies will be there, our programs and our membership, all of that will increase. How I plan to implement that or see that it happens, cannot give you an answer at this point, but I certainly would like to create that foundation that would cause such a thing to grow.
Billie Jean Keith?
Well, it assumes something, that question. It says at the end of your term. I'm not assuming or taking for granted that I will be elected, but if I am,
I really, really would like to see our financial footing on a have a bigger footprint. I think there are ways that we can make money for the organization. I also would like to see us our name more familiar in the public and be associated with advocacy and being able to reach out to blind people and blind people coming to us. Sometimes they never knew that anybody could give them any assistance other than their ophthalmologist, and they don't know about it. We're their failures because they can't help us, and we need to have more assistance for people to know about us, and if we had more money, we could help them more, too, and we could give more information in the forum. If we had more pages, that would be great.
Okay, let's go down to Pat Sheehan.
Thank you very much for that question. I think one of the things that I would like to see at the end of my term would be a secure, sound financial management system. We've heard a lot of talk over the week about raising funds for ACB, and I agree with everyone that we need more money. But one of the things that I think we need before that is a sound financial management system so that we know what we have in the bank at any given time, so that we have policies, practices, and procedures in place for being able to track that money, where it's going, and how we're spending it. Too many times in the past, we've learned too late that we have overspent money and the budget doesn't have the money in it, and we're taking money from reserves. I agree that we need to expand our programs, but before we do that, we need to be able to track where our money is and where we're going. Now, I have given to Mike Godino a series of emails and what we've done in the past. He is putting together a team.
Thanks, Pat. Brenda Dillon.
If elected, I would like to play an important role as part of the ACB board in improving the financial standing of ACB. I agree that there needs to be more accountability as to how we're expending the resources we do have. I would like to see us grow by hundreds in our membership. I would like to see us succeed in some of the legislation that we've been steadfastly addressing year after year. I'd like for us to be celebrating some victories with video description restoration and some of the other issues. I feel like we need to get a celebrity person who will champion the cause of ACB as so many other disability groups have, and give us not only a firmer foundation financially, but recognition in the disability community nationwide.
Thank you. And finally, for this question, Carla Rushwell.
Thank you. I have some specific things that I would like to see, and then some that are less specific. I, first of all, would like to see us have a staff and a board that are working toward all the same goals. And whether that be a staff person, in an office or a contractual person, I think that's essential. And those goals, to me, should be in the area of membership. We need to increase that membership. I'd like to see it grow and at least double in the next 4 years. I also would like to see us have at least 5 major funding streams, not little things, but 5 major funding streams to bring in the dollars that we need to do the good work. And finally, I would like to see a cohesive and very solid public relations plan to produce the pieces that we need to make ACB that household word among the public.
All right, thanks, Carla. Well, we have a couple of people standing. I think the people who are standing now here in the audience are going to be a balance of our questioners for this evening. They've been waiting patiently for a while. So let's go to this man first. He had a question in the BOP portion, and he's here with a question for the board here, too.
Thank you.
I am the CEO of a large company. You've been invited to come speak to us because we'd like to donate $3 million to the ACB. $3 million donation will be contingent on what you say to us in a minute.
Okay, for 1 minute answer, Mr. CEO is coming to you, Jeff Tom. He's got $3 million. You got 60 seconds to convince him.
The American Council of the Blind is the leading organization of blind and visually impaired persons in this country. We want to work with you to form a partnership that will allow the blind and visually impaired of this country to improve their lives and achieve greater opportunities, and which will increase your status as a corporate entity that really works for the betterment of the people of this country. I would also try, by the way, to attempt to find a corporation that is related in some manner to the area of the donation we seek. For example, let's say we wanted to do something on pedestrian safety. Now, if we pitched it the right way, we might go to a General Motors and try to use that sort of relationship to formulate a grant plan. We should work, for example, with store chains that we've already negotiated with or are negotiating with so that we can have relationships with companies of this sort that we can use to get that $3 million you're talking about.
Kevin, yeah, go ahead.
Thank you, Jeff. Let me just keep everybody on the exact thing that I'm looking for. You're speaking directly to the board at this time during your minute.
Okay. Oh, yeah, this was not just the director of the place. This was,
this was the board. Correct, but he's speaking to us at this time. So please speak to us as we are sitting in front of you. Thank you.
Oh, you're saying you want the audience to be the board.
Yeah. But the candidate is speaking to the board at that time, so.
Yeah, I got it. Okay, let's go down to Pat. Pat Sheehan?
Thank you, sir. I appreciate being here in front of you. And I'd like to talk to you about the lives of the blind people that I represent. We have needs for seniors who need to have accessible transportation. We have needs that where they need to be getting out of their house and living their lives in a full, productive way. Too many seniors at this particular time are homebound and shut in, and we feel that the use of your money to put programs together so that seniors can get goods and services to make their lives more complete would be very, very useful. Things like closed-circuit television, things like technology could be used to improve the lives of the seniors. There are a lot of needs for younger people also in schools, technology that can be used to improve their lives so that they can get a complete education and be able to move forward with their careers. Thank you.
All right, Carla?
First of all, I would never do this extemporaneously before the board. However, I certainly appreciate the opportunity to address you today and to introduce you to the American Council of the Blind. The American Council of the Blind has programs that touch virtually every blind or visually impaired person in this country. We have made programs and we have initiatives that are designed to benefit children, parents of blind children, as well as blind and visually impaired people who are in the workplace, and elderly persons who are losing their vision. ACB advocates for people of all ages and from all walks of life. We are interested in
people who live in big cities and people who live in little towns and people who live in the rural areas. There are blind people in all of these places, and they need your assistance. You can provide that assistance through your support of the American Council of the Blind. We will be happy to forward your goals and to work with you in partnership to assist blind and visually impaired people throughout the United States of America.
Thank you, Carla. Send that down to Billie Jean, please. Billie Jean Keith, if you just tuned in to ACB Radio, you're listening to the Candidates Forum, sponsored by the ACB Board of Publications. And my name is Jay Doudna, and this is Billie Jean Keith.
Thank you, Jay. Well, this is a slogan I wrote probably 12 years ago, and I've used it for several campaigns. And it says, if you lost your sight today, what would you do tomorrow? And I would go into this board of directors and say, good morning, Mr. Gates and fellow directors. I am so proud that you have decided to devote the rest of your life and to making the lives of people less, now, I don't like that phrase, less fortunate, but for people who have no means of getting their lives, their health or whatever. And I hope you will think of some of the people who live in sub-Saharan Africa who are blind from river blindness, and the operation only costs pennies to restore their sight. Just things like that. But if you lost your sight today, what would you do tomorrow?
Thank you, Billie Jean. Carol Ewing?
Hi, my name is Carol Ewing. I'm a member of the Board of Directors for the American Council of the Blind, and here to tell you a few things about what we do and what we need. I have represent approximately 20,000 people who read and write with their fingers. In front of you, I have prepared a Braille alphabet card and also a heart that's in Braille. Your name is right there above the heart, and below it, I have written a message to you saying, have a great day, the American Council of the Blind. Please close your eyes and touch that for a moment and see how it feels. We're not asking your sympathy. We're asking your support. We have people who have a new season in their lives, and that is one where they don't see as well as they have in the past. They're having to learn to read and write with their fingers. Now, you please open your eyes and look at what you have just felt. See how the heart feels. The shape of the heart as you see it and as we feel it, we know what it is. We ask you to support us with finances, for technology training, for the services that we need, and just to come see us. I'll be happy to package you or give you a partner of someone who's lost their vision and let you just see how it is to be mobile with a white cane or with a guide dog. Very interesting in the guide dogs and teach you that. Thank you.
All right. Ray?
Thank you for inviting me to speak with you today. You have many places that you can invest your money. By investing $3 million with the American Council of the Blind, you will be assisting blind and visually impaired individuals, whether they be young people, middle-aged adults, or senior citizens, to be able to enjoy television programming just as you do through video description. You'll be helping ACB, the American Council of the Blind, advocate for better and more efficient transportation so that individuals who are blind or visually impaired can go to work and experience the same quality of life that all of you enjoy every day. And you'll be helping young people and older folks alike get technology and technology training so that they can enjoy this wonderful world of internet access and computers. I urge you strongly to invest your $3 million with the American Council of the Blind. You'll help not only the 25,000 members of the American Council of the Blind, but hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of blind people across the United States.
Thank you. And finally, Brenda Dillon.
Mr. Smith, firm handshake.
thank you so much for this opportunity. I am really excited that you guys are interested in sponsoring $3 million to the American Council of the Blind. I have prepared for you a detailed report about all our activities, our goals, some of the priorities that we've been focusing on, and I'd be happy to provide you with more information if there's one particular area that your company is more interested in. We certainly want to participate in that area. We're also considering starting an American Center on Blindness, and your $3 million would be a wonderful start for that, where we could bring people together to train, to educate, to advocate. Our office there in Washington, D.C. would put us in a primary area, to be available to address legislation that can so drastically impact the lives of blind and visually impaired individuals. As our baby boomers are aging, there are going to be several million more blind and visually impaired people struggling with this new issue in their lives, and with the money that you're prepared to offer us, it'll make such a difference. You will go to sleep feeling so good because it's such a worthy cause. And as I said, I've given you the information. Here's my business card. Let's get together again and follow up on this.
All right. Thank you very much, Brenda. Now we have another person in our audience here with a question. What is your name?
Rick Troiano. And my question is actually a two-part question. how would you work with the other organization? Meaning the NFB. On issues regarding blindness, and also how would you work with other disabled organizations regarding rights of disabled people in general?
All right, relationships working with the NFB and other disabilities. Brenda, you have the microphone. Why don't you take this question first?
All right. I have actually had numerous opportunities to work with NFB. Recently, I was at a statewide vendors meeting, and the state NFB president didn't show up, so I had the pleasure of speaking up against Dr. Fred Schroeder, who's a big gun in NFB, and I could talk faster and more persuasively than he could. There are times when I believe that we can work together. We certainly have some common concerns and goals, but I have found even in the local areas, down to the local affiliates, that often the way we go about resolving problems is just not the same. Recently, I was working with an NFB group in Nashville, and they came to the meeting with a big, ugly stick. And I came with a carrot, and it was a honey carrot, and I was much more effective. Our group, the American Council of the Blind group, was much more effective. We just do things differently. Sometimes it's like religious beliefs. There's everybody believes in, well, a lot of us believe in God, but we go about it in different ways. And I believe in some instances we can work together.
I told you, Mr. Timer knows how to stop people. He's done that mostly to women tonight.
Did I stop on a dime, Paul?
You certainly did. You are right on that dime, I want to tell you. Okay, let's see. Ray? Okay, Ray Campbell.
Okay. I believe many times I believe ACB and NFB, we agree on what needs to be done. We just don't agree on how to go about it. So I think sometimes it comes to a little bit of negotiation. Sometimes, for example, on the issue of instructional materials, I think both organizations agreed that needed to happen. And we may have to do a little give and take, but sometimes that's what has to happen. As far as the larger disability community, that's exactly, working in that community is exactly the kind of experience I can bring to the board. I've been a transportation advocate for the last 14 years, and eight of those years worked not only with the disability community, but with municipal and township, county, and public transportation officials. In DuPage County, Illinois, just 2 years ago, we started Ride DuPage, a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week, curb-to-curb transportation service for people with disabilities and senior citizens. I'm very, very proud to have been a part of that work. And having worked in independent living and things like accessible voting and transportation, I believe we must work with the disability community, the larger community, where it makes sense, but blindness services must always be our top priority.
Thank you, Ray. Let's go to Pat Sheehan now for an answer to this question. Pat?
Thank you very much. In Maryland, we have the high honor to have their headquarters sitting in our backyard, so we get a lot of experience in working with NFB. One of the things I've found is that many times, because we know our subject matter, we've done our homework, NFB doesn't seem to be much of a problem. As a matter of fact, tonight there is a meeting going on where we have ACB representatives along with some members of NFB who are working at going beyond what the ADA requires as far as transportation matters within the state. And the reason why we got there is because we've done our homework and we worked with the State Highway Administration. We even got the Federal Highway Administration involved. And we basically were able to prove our point, and we have found that these entities have come to us first because we are reasonable.
He even stopped a man that time. Okay, let's move on to Billie Jean Keith.
There you go. Thank you. Well, in our state of Virginia, we do coalesce. When we have issues that need to go before the assembly, General Assembly in Richmond, we do have ways that NFB have often agreed with us, especially with rehabilitation issues and certainly the Braille literacy. And I think we coalesce fairly well. I do always like to know the history of something, and if you read history, perhaps you won't make the mistakes that you see that in these histories, but I do recall that when the ADA was going through Congress slowly, NFB did not want to be involved, although now they're very proud to say that they did get partial regulation in there that said that a person did not have to accept a service if they didn't want to, and that's part of their thing. But I also worked as a peer counselor in a center for independent living, and I really, really would like to see all disabilities have the same benefits that we have. I don't think we should be singled out to have more benefits than other people with disabilities.
Thank you, Billie Jean. Carol?
Well, my feelings with the NFB was I investigated them in 1992 when I was seeking an organization, attended some of their meetings, and then decided on the ACB because I loved the information that came through. I loved the strength that it gave me to be a blind person. As far as working with NFB, I think that I would do so in a professional manner that I normally deal with. That is to do my research, know my program, go in into a meeting or whatever we're doing, and just see how it works. No emotion, just a professional image there. I think they're real people also, but I also believe the ACB has the better plan, or I wouldn't be a member of it. Thank you.
And finally, for this question, Jeff Tom.
Okay.
Oh, I did. He went in my other pocket. Sorry. So we have Carla after Jeff.
The answer, several people have said, is to make sure that you look very carefully at each issue, whether you're working with NFB, excuse me, independent living centers, protection and advocacy, or whomever else it may be. The California Council of the Blind, for example, worked very successfully with the National Federation of the Blind of California and other agencies serving the blind so that we could enact a Division of Blind Services a few years ago. I have made a very great effort to maintain cordial relationships with the independent living centers in my state so that we could work on voting rights issues and other issues with which we had common ground. On the other hand, for those issues where we disagree, whether it's the NFB or independent living centers or whoever else it is, we have to go to the mat if we truly disagree. But I think the cordial relationships, which were mentioned earlier, are very important. We had a bill not too many years ago with which we disagreed on NFB to some degree. But instead of trying to fight about it, instead of trying to potentially lose their bill, we came up with an amendment which made it palatable for everybody and saved our relationship.
All right. Now, I apologize for forgetting Carla. So here's Carla to answer this question.
Thank you. First of all, the short answer to the question is we should always, and ACB has always been willing to work in coalition with other organizations, no matter who they may be, in order to reach goals that would benefit blind and visually impaired and disabled people. And that is also true on a state level. I'd like to tell you a very quick story. 10 years ago, the governor of Kentucky tried to do away with our separate agency for the blind. And NFB and KCB went to Frankfurt, our state capital, together. And I want to tell you, we wound up in the governor's office that day, about 125 of us. And behind the governor's desk were Betty Nicely, the current president of NFBK at the time, and myself. And when the governor came in, we were behind his desk. And I'm going to tell you, Governor Paul Patton didn't stand a chance. Between the two of us, he was like a volleyball being batted over the net. So, yes, sometimes we can work together and sometimes we can't. But that's true with many, many organizations and many issues. And where we have common goals and common issues and people want to work together, it is possible.
Thank you, Carla. It is 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and we're going to make this our last question. This person's been standing here in the audience for quite a while, so I appreciate her waiting. What is your name, and what's your question?
My name is Laura Booker, and I'm from Illinois.
Yeah, this one went off. I don't know why. Okay, now what is your name?
My name is Laura Booker, and I'm from Illinois. And my question is, in your opinion, what is the number one role or job of a board member? And to make it a little more difficult, we're going to exclude advocacy and policy making.
You got that? Okay, I hope you're equal to this. Now, I'm going to see why this other mic isn't working. So here's Jeff Tom to try this one.
Well, as much as I hate to say it, because it's not always a wonderful and easy thing to do, I think the number one job, other than those that you mentioned, has got to be working toward fundraising opportunities. The board members can't all do it alone, but they have to really pitch in and work hard at it. I think, for example, that we must have a full-time professional development director for fundraising and marketing. It's going to be a drain on our reserve, but we've got to have it. In addition, we each and every board member has to put in the type of efforts that Brenda and others have been talking about to individually go out and pound the pavement and do the solicitation to get those donations that we've seen this year for with respect to convention sponsors. I will do and give to you my promise that I will engage in those efforts during my four-year term if elected.
There it is. Okay, thank you. I think all of the we can talk about all the things that we need to do, and all of them are very much important. But I think the most important thing that we as most important thing that we as board members need to do is listen. I've learned as the in my role as convention coordinator years ago and as my role as events coordinator in the last 3 years that you really can accomplish a tremendous amount if you listen to what people are truly saying and what they are telling you. All right. If you listen to what people are really saying, they will give you the guidance and the ideas and the information and suggestions that you then can take and see how it can be worked into the jigsaw puzzle or the quilt, if you'll have it, of the organization, whether it be a convention or a fundraising policy or some other activity or project, a public relations project, whatever. It will give you a sense of where the membership wants you to go, whether it be the membership as a whole or a small part or a small group of members that have some specific needs. So listening to me is the most important thing that a board member should do outside of the advocacy and the policy making.
Thank you very much. I think that the board is responsible for making sure that policies are in place, whether it's their financial policies, policies regarding internet and communication. And I think it's important once policies and procedures are in place to be able to communicate those policies and procedures out to the state affiliates, making sure that the right hand knows what the left hand is doing. Too many times in ACB, we are not communicating well. We are not informing each other of what's going on. Increasing the communication also back from the affiliates back to the board of directors and through the national office, I think is important to do that so that affiliates feel that they're part of the organization so that the bonds are stronger and more cohesive. I think those are areas that the board can certainly work on. I think that putting in policies takes time, takes effort. It's not a fun or pretty job. Communicating that work out to the affiliates, making sure the affiliates are happy and are getting the information they need, I think is important for the board of directors to be able to do. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Pat. Brenda Dillon?
I believe our job is to be worker bees, to carry on the business of ACB between conventions, to represent you guys in our decision making, to be a reflection of, it's like when you have representation in Washington, D.C., you know, not everybody's there with their fingers in the pie, but I feel like that we need to be listening carefully so that we know what kind of pie you want it to be. and I love to bake. So I hope that I will, if elected, I will do a good job of conveying your wishes, your priorities, and working diligently to carry out those goals.
Carol Ewing, would you like to try answering this question, please?
Yes. I think our responsibility as a board member is to eliminate the word I and just think that we're always representing the American Council of the Blind. We need to project a good image. We need to be happy. We need to be honest. We need to project a high integrity of ourselves and what we're doing and how serious we are about it. We will be diligent, but we need to project a positive image for blind folks as well as the American Council of the Blind. Image is extremely important to the sighted people. They have watched television. They have been trained all their lives because of commercials to make decisions within 30 seconds. And they do so when they walk up to you and shake your hand and say hello. And you have to get past that. So I would say image, and then being ourselves, being happy, being sincere, and being honest. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol. Billie Jean?
Thanks, Carol. Well, I have two prongs on this, since we don't do advocacy and we don't do policy. If you take those out, I get back to communications. I truly would love to see more pages in the Braille Forum, because I do think that is the major way that we communicate with our members and with the public. I don't want to say general public, with the public. The other facet would be back to leadership training. We used to have funds to do that and went around the country, and perhaps three or four states would come together, send members or delegates, and they would learn leadership skills and just learn how powerful a person can be in their own area. And I think I'm getting more Southern as it later it gets, because I can just hear these words drawling, and I don't mean to do that, but I'm kind of, but more communication. But it all comes down to money, money, money. So, more money, please.
And finally, Ray Campbell.
I think the most important job, if you take advocacy and policy making out, first of all, I don't know how to live if I can't advocate. But I think helping is what I will call it. Being helpful and supportive to our affiliates when the affiliate president contacts the board and asks about what's this resolution all about that you want us to work on. Well, what is this all about? Contacting, working with our committees that we have appointed and delegated to do various jobs, making sure that they have the tools and things that they need, and supporting them and listening to them and getting information from them. And I think being a helpful and supportive part of the organization is very, very important. We are the leaders of the organization. We are the authority of this organization between conventions, and we need to support the people that we've asked to help us out.
All right, thanks very much, Ray. And now I'm down here with Marlena Lieberg with a comment before we wrap up.
Actually, it's an announcement to the listeners. We've had a little problem with today's log file for replay. We're in the process of fixing it now. And so please bear with us. Our little automated system decided to go on its own way. But we should have that corrected in a very short time. Thank you.
Maybe it's that little gremlin that turned the mic off on our questioner there. Could have been the same. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank my friends here tonight who came out to this candidates forum. This has really been a great opportunity for all of you here in this room tonight to meet our candidates, and I'd like to thank the candidates for coming here tonight. Let's have a nice round of applause for all of them. Let's realize that these people are giving of themselves because they believe in this wonderful organization. Thank you, everybody, for coming tonight. This concludes, on behalf of the
Board of Publications, this concludes this candidate's forum. Good evening, everyone.
And that about wraps it up for our coverage of the candidates' forum on ACB Mainstream. To paraphrase a record title, as an alien in Jacksonville, I must admit I found it absolutely fascinating, and I hope you have. We will be back tomorrow at the slightly earlier time of 11:30 UTC for the entertainment. And we're starting. There's a huge amount to get in tomorrow. We've got two sessions and we've got the banquet coming up. So do stay with us. The main Thursday session will begin in approximately 50 minutes' time. Meanwhile, there will be something on ACB Mainstream. I hope you've enjoyed our coverage. We will be back tomorrow. Bye.
You're invited to come on over to Our Place. Our Place is a voice chat community that is now part of the ACB radio portal. Here, people from around the world can hang out and chat in real time about a wide range of topics using the latest iVocalize technology. Our Place is now open. To join, just come on over and have some great conversation at http://ourplace.acbradio.org. That's ourplace.acbradio.org. The chat room software installs automatically, and all you need is a microphone connected to your sound card. It's easier than walking and chewing gum at the same time. So come on over. We'll be looking for you at Our Place. That's ourplace.acbradio.org.